Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
My next guest is one of those people who just seems to be good at everything. Now, not only has he been making people laugh for over 30 years, he's also a multi-instrumentalist, an actor, a painter, an author, and he's a Strictly Come Dancing champion. It'd make you sick. Bill Bailey, thank you so much for joining me today.
No, you're very welcome.
Listen, the new series of Strictly has obviously started. I bet you were watching it last night. Were you judging everybody?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's me right now. I mean, I've turned into a dance critic. You know, I'm looking at, you know, arm position. All that hand wasn't quite right. The shoulders a bit up there. You know, but yes, also equally looking at, you know, the qualities of the dancers and observing all the different moves and the different parts of the dance. I mean, that's the thing, you know, once you're going through something like that, you learn all this jargon and all this the dance terminology, and it stays with you.
Sticks
so that's
with
it. I've become an armchair dance critic.
Never watch it the same again.
No, exactly.
You have your own set of paddles now at home, I bet, with the scores on it.
Yeah,
and everything. Yeah,
that's right. Improvised.
Exactly.
From table tennis bats.
I just want to clear something up, right? Because you were given the name Mark Robert Bailey. That is your given name. How did Bill come about? Was it just a stage name or was there something more to it?
Yeah. Oh, well, no, it's an old song.
Yeah.
Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey? And it was written around about just after the turn of the 20th century. So 1910 or around about then.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and it became a kind of jazz standard. Mm-hmm. And when I was at school, one of the teachers saw my surname was Bailey. And he said, and he, you know, being a fan of jazz, said, "Oh, won't you come home, Bill Bailey?" And of course, it stuck. And that was very early on. I mean, that was at junior school. There was only kind of, I guess, 7 or 8 or 9 or something, and I was Bill from then on.
Properly stuck. Yeah, I want to talk to you about your new show, Thought of Fire. It is going to be kicking off in Ireland on the 9th of February. We're so delighted to have you back in Ireland again. What was the inspiration behind the show?
Well, I think that there's a few things, really. I mean, there's a lot of elements that I've lots of subjects that I'm interested in. Mm. You know, the idea that, you know, first of all, we're in a certainly in the world of the arts and the wider world, you know, facing the kind of this AI revolution where seemingly lots of jobs are going to be replaced by the AI. And, you know, we're facing a bit of a, you know, a crisis in a way. It's like, well, how do we deal with this? You know, and certainly in the arts, it sends a real kind of shudder through the whole of the world of the arts, because of course it can, you know, accurately replace people's images and sounds and write scripts. I mean, you know, who knows? You mean, you might see a film that's entirely created by AI.
And we've seen all that with the strikes lately in the States and everything. Yeah, of course, it's huge
absolutely.
Problem.
So
yeah,
it is. And not to mention the fact that, you know, it will have perhaps far-reaching implications in terms of the workplace, where, you know, potentially, I mean, this again, you know, numbers have been bandied around in a kind of panic, but maybe anyone that works in computing or huge telecoms industries, you know, are already having to think about people losing their jobs. So it's a big issue, and I think that we're not quite ready for it.
Yeah,
and I don't think government's ready for it. I don't think legislation is ready. Regulation is just, you know, it's on, you know, the horse is running.
Yes.
You know, it's bolted. It's, it's out there. And so we have to kind of, you know, we have to deal with it. And part of that is my sort of response to that, and how we can try and you know, what do we make of all that, you know, and how does that impact us, particularly in the world of the arts? And I think in terms of comedy, obviously, the question I get asked a lot is, well, you know, AI, we can't write jokes. The thing is, this is the interesting thing. It can replicate comedy, but it never quite sounds right. You know,
yeah.
It sounds like someone who's just trying to do comedy, you know, like hanging around comics, who's a bit of a comic nerd and just finishes off stories with an inappropriate punchline, you know. You know what I mean? Like, it's like somebody hanging around and they go, and you say something, and then they go, yeah, and that was just the stuff, and it doesn't mean anything, you know. It's just like it's a sort of meaningless punchline. But that's where it's at the moment. I mean, obviously it's going to learn and improve, but what I think and what I explore a bit in the show is the fact that we originate. That's the thing. That's what you know, humans do. That's what we do. We make, we create, we originate. And what AI can't do is that. It can replicate, you know, it can scour the sum total of, you know, written knowledge and regurgitate it back, but it can't come up with ideas. I think that's the difference. And this show is very much a celebration of our humanity in a way, what we're, you know, what we're capable of. And I try and get the audience involved, singing songs, you know, get them to sing difficult bits of music, you know, that they perhaps thought they couldn't sing. And it's really about celebrating that sense of community that live performance has, and the fact that you can't really replicate that in any other way. It's kind of unique.
One of my favourite things that you have ever done, and I know you include music in most, if not all, of your shows, was the foreign ambulance sirens is still a favourite for me. But is the writing process different for you when you include music?
Yeah, I think so, because, routines, you know, stories, jokes, recollections, these tend to sort of, they change over time. You know, you add to them very much in the way that, you know, stories get added to, and you embellish them a little bit. You find a bit more, another angle to the story. You tell it in a different way. These tend to develop slowly over time. Mm. Whereas music has to kind of arrive fully formed. You know, you think of an idea and that's it. And now that's it. That's the idea. And all I've got to do now is kind of somehow realize that and make it happen in the show.
You're Bill, you're also an actor. And obviously when you are doing your stand-up shows and the amount of, you know, you're multi-instrumentalist as well. So you have full creative control over your stand-up shows. How is it different, you know, when do you find acting and being given direction and that kind of thing, where you're kind of you've somebody else's ideas that you have to bring to the screen or to the stage or whatever?
I like it. I like the difference because stand up is very much, as you say, it's I have full control over it. I write it, perform it. I suppose I sort of direct it, produce it. It's all me, really.
Yeah.
You know, it comes from your own head and your own thoughts. So there's a great amount of freedom with that. Which obviously was one of the reasons I love doing it. Mm. And of course, as an actor, you know, I quite like that the handing over of the responsibility to someone else. Quite nice to just sort of like show up and, you know, well, these are your lines and this is your character and off you go. And
that's great.
And, you know, brilliant. I don't have to worry about, you know, well, these lines are going to go. That's on you, you know. So sometimes it's a bit of a, you know, it's kind of a relief in a way.
Yeah.
A bit of, and it's also, I got to say, you know, often a collaborative process, which is something, again, which, you know, stand-up by its very nature sometimes isn't. So it's kind of nice being in an ensemble of actors and, you know, being part of something, you know, that's it's different. I mean, it's different from stand-up. You know, I enjoy it. I like to mix it up a bit.
Speaking of that, Bill, and mixing it up and kind of, you know, finding contentment, I guess, you wrote a book called Bill Bailey's Remarkable Guide to Happiness. What were your main findings about finding happiness? Can you help any of us at the moment? Please, Bill, please.
It seems, yes, exactly. All right, then. Yes, we all could do with some of that. I think the thing, the broad, I suppose, the conclusions that you that I got were that, you know, we spend a lot of time not identifying what happiness is correctly. Mm. And I think that, you know, a lot of people seem to have this idea that it involves, I mean, if you look at Instagram, you know, and social media, it involves some kind of, you know, conspicuous, you know, success or wealth or, yeah, you know, or hedonism. You know, I think people, yeah, mistake hedonism for happiness, mm-hmm, you know, because it can be just being in the outdoors, you know, yeah, walking in the outdoors, fresh air, being amongst nature, and also human interaction, you know, kind, yeah, of communication with people, making, you know, making the effort to have conversations. I think there's simple stuff that you can do every day, which nourishes you, which you know, sort of reaffirms all kinds of thoughts and experiences that we perhaps don't identify on a daily basis. You know, we're so caught up in the churn of our daily lives.
And
know,
I think painting as well is, know, a big part of that for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, simple stuff, making, you know, yeah, making things,
yes,
painting, the stuff which is, you know, which is ancient, really. I mean, I think that's it. You know, going back to the AI thing, I mean, I think that, you know, these are the things that are going to be really valued in the future. The stuff that makes us human. Complex making. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is the stuff that can't be replicated, and it has a sort of lasting way of making us happy.
Bill, you're such a legend. I'm so delighted to be able to talk to you today, and we're thrilled that you're going to be back in Dublin. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time today as well. That's Bill Bailey.
No worries.
Oh, thank you. Thought of Fire comes to the Three Arena on Friday, the 9th of February, 2024. The tickets are on sale now. They'll also be in Belfast on the 10th. Bill Bailey, thanks so much for talking to me today.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.